local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE, we're talking about some great community events. We're going to start it off today talking about the annual event in Spring Green, the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair. And joining us in the studio is Diane Barenbrook. Diane is here to talk all about it. What is your title, Diane? It's just kind of, you wear a lot of hats there, I know.
I do. We do lots of different things. And this year, actually, I have a new title, but the job duties all remain the same. I'm a co-president of the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair. For many years, I've been the co-chair, but we've had some reorganization. So now I'm a co-president.
Co-president. That looks good on the business card, right?
Oh, I'm sure it will get me far.
Oh, well, you know, looking at the forecast, hopefully I don't want to, you know, bring you bad luck, but it looks pretty favorable for this weekend, doesn't it?
It does look wonderful for the weekend. We always want great weather for Art Fair weekend. Usually it's really hot. We've had stormy weather. So far it looks good. Friday's a little iffy when we need to do some setup, but we can't control the weather, so we try not to worry too much about it.
You've had all kinds over the years, haven't you?
Most definitely.
So the history of the Arts and Crafts Fair, it goes back a long time, doesn't it?
This is probably the 55th year minus two COVID years. So a group of local women way back, you know, five decades ago decided they wanted to promote the area, and that's kind of how the fair started. They decided, let's do something, and they started it, and we continue on today.
Yeah, that was a big deal back then, but I think it really grew maybe even faster than they thought it would.
The art fair certainly has grown as far as number of artists, number of people that attend the fair. Thousands and thousands of people come into the community at art fair weekend. And then we hope they come back again after maybe their initial visit. The number of artists is a little bit lower currently since COVID. Just not as many applications. Artists are kind of doing different things since COVID, just in talking to them. But yeah, the fair has certainly grown, and I don't know if we could get any bigger.
I was going to say, it fills the street up pretty well, doesn't it?
It does. It does. My nephew and I were out and measuring spots on the street last week, and so the streets will be full.
Yeah, there's no turnstile where you know exactly how many are coming in and out. But
we don't. There's really no way to know. There are so many entry points. A number of years ago, I believe it was the chief of police or someone local was taking pictures from different vantage points and was trying to count people per block. And we always estimate that we have about 10,000 visitors for the weekend, but there's no way to know.
And they come from all over the Midwest, don't they?
They do. Artists and visitors alike come from all over the Midwest. We have real strong advertising throughout the Midwest and, you know, in the Madison and Milwaukee area. And just in talking with people, you know, to find out where they're from, they do come from all over.
So you've had the vendors have registered, and you can kind of gauge where they're from, can't you?
Yep, the vendors we're a juried art fair, so they applications need to be in mid-February, and then we have a jury process, and so artists apply from all over the United States, Florida, Colorado, all over the place they come from.
I'm guessing every year you get wowed, don't you, when you see some of the things that are on display?
It's amazing what people can create. So, yes, there are many wow experiences, and I wonder where I could put that in my house, but now my house is full of art. So.
You got to sell some to get some, then, maybe.
I don't want to part with any.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the schedule, then, Diane. When does it start?
The art fair will begin on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. with a trumpet fanfare by Michelle Mack. And on Saturday, the fair hours are from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. On Saturday only, we will have a children's area sponsored by the Spring Green Community Library. There will be crafts, stories. Children will be able to take a book home. They can sign up for the summer reading program. And that will run from 10 until 3 on Saturday. On Saturday, we'll have two entertainers. From 10 until 1, Abby Spencer will be providing entertainment. And from 1:30 until 4:30, Don Greenwood will provide entertainment. And that will take place in the Post House Garden. On Sunday, the art fair runs from 9 until 4. And it begins with a trumpet fanfare by local trumpeters Julie Cousy and Nancy Maxwell. Entertainment on Sunday will be provided from 10 until 12 by Jana Johnson and from 12:30 until 3:30 by Jamba Dextrous. So that's kind of, those are the hours and kind of different things that happen throughout the day.
And the entertainers appear, where do they play at?
The entertainers will perform in the Post House Garden.
Okay.
Many people know that's where the Dutch Kitchen and Post House stood for many years, so that will take place there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. I looked up I knew you were coming. I went to the website and there was a little history lesson in there and it listed the very first entertainer at Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair. Do you know who that was?
I do not
know. I'll put you on the spot. It said the Betty Hayes Dancers.
Oh, of course.
Were the first one.
I should have known. For many, many years, the Betty Hayes Dancers performed at the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair.
Yes, they did. So that's good, looking back a little bit in history. So maybe you could talk a little bit about just the many styles and the different vendors and the things that they have. Just there's something for everyone, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. We have 10 different categories in our juried art fair. The categories are glass, pottery, graphics, jewelry, photography, sculpture, fiber, painting, wood, and then fine crafts or others. So when artists apply for the fair, they select the category that they are going to display their work in. Sometimes when we're having the jurying process, we'll be like, I wonder why they selected that category. Or because many of the artists' work could go in maybe double categories, or it all depends how they define it. It's their choice to determine what category they want to display in. And that is mostly for judging purposes because we do provide prizes, a first and second prize in each category, and also a best of show. So 10 categories of artwork. There is definitely something for everyone.
Yeah, an artist might have several different styles, but they put out what they feel is the best or the most prize-worthy then.
Yeah, they can choose what they display. It needs to fit the category that they applied in, but they're welcome to display, you know, the artwork of their choosing. And it's interesting to see artists who have come for a number of years, how their artwork has changed. It's like, oh, wow, who's, you know, when we go through things at the jury and you just see the slides or the images that they provide us with and there are no names attached to them at the jury process. It's like, and then later on you find out like, oh, my gosh, really, their artwork has really changed or evolved over the years.
Is there a best overall of show then?
There is. There's a best of show award that is $500. And all of the prize winners are able to return next year. They don't have to be juried in. They're automatically accepted for the following year. So like I said, Best of Show is a $500 prize and a ribbon that they can display on their booth. And then in each category, we have a first prize that is $300 and second prize that is $100.
And who decides that? Who are the judges?
We have three judges. This year, they're all relatively local artists with a wide variety of experiences. Ashley Fannensteel, Sue Qualley, and Leah Griffith Boyce will be our judges for this year's fair.
Okay. And they have their work cut out for them, it sounds like.
They do. They usually, the judges usually spend pretty much all day Saturday walking the street and, you know, viewing the artist's work, talking with them, asking questions if they, you know, want more information, and then turn in their results, and we make the announcement either late Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning when we have all the results.
So the second day on Sunday, if you go back to the Spring Garden Arts and Crafts Fair, you can possibly see who the winners are then?
Yeah, the artists are provided ribbons to place on their booths so fairgoers can see, like, ooh, this artist won a prize. We also have a list of the winners at the registration table. So if anyone is curious as to who, you know, won in a certain category or best of show, stop by the registration table and we'll have a list of all the prize winners.
How important is this event for the Spring Green merchants?
Oh my gosh. I would say it's a huge event, and I hope the merchants realize how important this is to their business, not only on this weekend, but for weekends to come. As many fairgoers come for a first time and then return, they might pop into a store while they're looking at artwork, or they might say, oh, I want to come back and check that place out another time. We have a huge advertising budget, and like I said, we advertise very heavily in the Madison and Milwaukee markets and then throughout the Midwest, so we're really getting the Spring Green name out there.
Well, you have enough to draw on the rest of the year too, you know, so people come back and lodge there. They can go to American Players. There are a lot of things to do.
It's right? A wonderful community. There is always a lot to do in Spring Green.
How important is it for, like, your civic organizations as well?
Well, we have a number of service groups that predominantly provide food for art goers. The River Valley Music Boosters will be having a booth, and they will be selling cream puffs and water. I think they're having a flavored water option, the bubbler, I believe. The River Valley Community Gardens will have a booth selling ice cream cones, ice cream dishes, and novelties. The Spring Green Lions, a staple at the art fair, will have brats, burgers, and this year they'll be adding hot dogs, chips, Pepsi products, and water. The River Valley High School girls swim team will have a booth with walking tacos, loaded baked potatoes, soda, Gatorade, and water. The River Valley High School boys and girls soccer teams will have nachos, snow cones, root beer floats, grape floats, orange floats, water, beef sticks, and popcorn. And the Spring Green Pack 38 Scouts will be selling their lemonade, iced tea, iced coffee, water, Arnold Palmer drinks, and strawberry lemonade. So these service organizations not only provide food and drinks for fairgoers, but help the art fair committee by having food kinds of options available. And then they get, make a little profit for their group as well. We have another group, the River Valley Volleyball, that will be helping us with garbage and some setup kinds of and takedown kinds of things. So we really appreciate their help. The Spring Green Swim Team did it for years, and now we're transitioning over to the River Valley Volleyball Team taking on that task.
That's great for them to get some of their service hours in too, you know, volunteering and things like that.
Absolutely, yep.
Sure.
It's a great way.
And I'm guessing for a lot of these groups too, that is kind of a big thing for their budget for the year too, isn't it?
For many of them, it is. It's a huge financial boost for them. They work all weekend, but they get some money in return, a little financial kickback.
Do you have people that help set up then?
I'll take anybody that wants to show up on Friday around 6 or help take down on Sunday around 5 or 6 or 7, whenever you want to come. I'll take any help that anyone would like to provide. On Thursday night, we call it Stickering the Street. And there are a few members of the art fair committee, and three of my nieces and nephews come and help with that. We have to put a numbered sticker for each booth all along the street. So that will happen on Thursday night. Previously, I had a nephew help me with painting the marks on the street where each of the 12, every 12 feet where there's a booth. So, yeah, we have to unload lots of heavy things from our storage unit on Friday afternoon and get that out. And then we have a art fair committees on the streets on Friday night. Artists can set up beginning at 7:30. The streets on Jefferson Street closes at 7 p.m. on Friday. And so all cars need to be removed prior to 7 p.m. or you're at risk of being towed. We hope that doesn't happen. And then the artist begins setting up, and it's amazing to watch. Even if you don't want to help, come show up on Friday night around 7:30 and watch how empty streets turn into an art fair. It's very amazing to see all the artists get their booths set up, and some of them may put artwork in it on Friday night. That's their choice. Otherwise, they just set up the booth and then put artwork in on Saturday morning. But anyone who wants to help, just give me a call or show up. We'll take any help.
You wouldn't turn them down, would you?
Absolutely not.
So you mentioned that you put the stickers down. So then each vendor, they bring their own like canopy tents and things like that to put
all up. Of the vendors bring their own tents. And those tents all need to be weighted. And all that criteria of the type of tent and thing is provided to the artist prior to the fair once they've been accepted.
There's a lot of take down and put back and things like that. Do they leave their stuff out there then overnight on Saturday nights, or do they bring it back?
I would say about 90%, close maybe 100% of the artists leave their tents up, some with artwork in. It's all their choice whether they leave artwork in there or not. But I would say everybody leaves their tent up on Saturday night, and that's happened for many years that they've been able to do that. And our local police department has, you know, someone extra on duty to be in the area on Saturday night.
To watch it all there. Parking, where's the best place if somebody's going to visit, you know, to kind of get a good spot? And, you know, or are there shuttle buses or trams or anything like that you use?
We don't have any shuttle buses. Parking is just on any side street in the village. Wherever you can find a spot and it's not marked street closed or handicapped parking. We have some handicapped parking areas from on Jefferson Street on the west end of the fair. Now, I'll be terrible at knowing my street names, but
I know how that goes. You live around
I know
here.
Where everything is. Yeah. I just don't always get the right streets. But at the west end of the fair, there are usually at least a block of handicapped spots there. There are handicapped spots in the public parking lot behind Barron Brooks, like between Barron Brooks and the medical clinic. There are a few handicapped spots. There are also some handicapped spots on Jefferson and Worcester, just to the north of the registration area in the block, like across from the library. There's usually some marked handicapped spots there. But otherwise, any place you can find a spot, park and walk down to the fair.
Mm-hmm. And again, it should be good weather. Less humidity. We'll all take that too, won't we?
Absolutely. It sounds like low 80s, high 70s. Absolutely perfect.
Take that all day. And then the entertainment starts Saturday and Sunday, both at 10 o'clock in the morning, and some great music. That'll add to kind of the festival atmosphere, won't it?
Yeah, the music, it's kind of a different variety of music. We have Abby Spencer. She's new to the fair this year, but if she's a well-known performer in the Wisconsin Dells area. She's also been nominated for a Midwest Country Music Organization New Artist of the Year, as well as Music Video of the Year. She describes her music as country with a gritty undertone.
Mm. Good stuff.
Don Greenwood's a local musician.
He's a legend.
Yeah, a legend. All right. His music is described as rural blues and folk traditions. He plays in numerous communities in the Driftless area. Jana Johnson, another very well-known local musician, is a very versatile musician. She performs with various musical groups. And Jamba Dextrous plays a wide range of music from jazz to traditional to fusion. That group is made up of six different musicians on keyboard, saxophone, bass, and percussion. So a lot of variety there for people just to take a break, sit in the garden, and listen to some music.
I was going to say, that's where you can kind of rest and listen to some music and rest the legs a little bit and then get your second wind. Maybe.
Yeah, I think that the shed will be providing some food for sale in that area as well.
Great. As far as your committee, you know, I know your mother has come here in the past, Mary Lou Barron Brooks. She's been here in the past, but she's still involved with it, it sounds like.
Yes, my mom is still involved. We have a relatively small committee. When I was thinking about the size of our committee, you know, it started out as a very small group of local women, and now we're a small group. We're not all women, but we're still a small group. A relatively aging group. So again, anyone that has any interest, you don't even have to know much about art, but anyone that wants to support and promote the Spring Green community, give me a call. We'd love to get some new, younger people on the committee. That would be great. I'm older, and I'm one of probably the second youngest person currently on the committee. So anyone that would be interested in helping out, we welcome your willingness to help.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And I would guess the planning probably starts on Monday for the next year, doesn't it?
Well, sort of in our head it does, but we try to take a little time off. We meet monthly, sometimes August, and then we'll take it maybe September off and meet again in October and November, and then come back full force in January and meet monthly, and sometimes a little more than that. But it's not, I mean, the fair has continued on for so long, and we don't have a lot of things that have to be changed, so it's not a huge meeting commitment kind of organization, but once everybody knows their assigned role and is doing that, it kind of works along pretty well.
Do you have any other events during the regular year other than this thing in the end of June?
The Art Fair Committee doesn't sponsor any other events, no. We have many other organizations in the community that do arts-related events, but this is the Art Fair Committee's primary event.
Main claim to fame.
Exactly.
And for a lot of the groups and the school groups and things like this, this is a big thing for them too. So.
Yep, and all of those groups have different events, you know, from the Lions Club to the school groups. They all do different events throughout the year.
Sure. And even if someone can't make the art fair, they can stop by and get a sandwich or whatever.
Oh, sure. You can come and you don't have to walk the street and look at art. You can just come and eat and listen to entertainment if you want.
Yep. Free to get in, right?
No cost to get in.
No cost. You can't beat that. Anything else you'd like to add today, Diane?
No, I'd just like to invite everyone to come to Spring Green Saturday and Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, and see some amazing artwork, visit some local food booths, join in the entertainment, and just have a great weekend in Spring Green.
I'm guessing 200 artists or so, you know, you get in there, and if you really love art, I think your head's just going to spin, like, where am I going to go first? You know, you've got so many things to choose from, don't you?
Yeah, I know some people say they walk the whole fair first and make note of things they want to go back and look at, but they want to see everything first, and everybody has a different style of how they do an art fair.
Great. Well, we hope people will stop by this weekend. So thanks for coming in today, Diane.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Diane Barenbrook joining us from the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair. That's this Saturday and Sunday in downtown Spring Green on Jefferson Street. On a morning show today, we talk about the Cazenovia Area Dairy Breakfast, which is coming up this very weekend at St. Anthony's School, and that is sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, Council 8946, and Grand Knight Greg Braun is in the studio with us today. Greg, it's that time of year again.
Good morning.
Good to have you in here today.
It's nice to be here.
How are things in Cazenovia these days?
Wet.
Good answer. They're wet all over the place.
Yeah.
A lot of farmers trying to get the hay in, I'm guessing.
Well, I talked to the fellows, some of the local farmers, and they said they got 4 inches of rain over the weekend. That's a lot of water.
Yes, that is.
So,
well, hopefully you get some dry days. I know your event is inside, but everybody will be in a good mood if they get some hay made in the meantime.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know this is a huge undertaking, and you've been doing this for a long time in Cazenovia, haven't you?
Well, this is a 24th annual, and this is a nice Columbus 24th annual. This started clear back, has to be 40-some years, and it started out in Cazenovia with the JCs. And as they aged out, then they passed it on, and then we finally ended up with it, and here we are 24 years later.
So do you have people, yourself included, that have been around for the whole time, all the dairy breakfasts?
We were real small at the time when they started, as far as we're probably, I shouldn't say real small, 12 years old. So, and I'm 61 now. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So, the attendance has been real good, I think, over the years, hasn't it?
Usually between 700 and 800 people.
My goodness.
That's, yeah. And this year we're on by ourselves. Ordinarily we're with Elroy Fair, and there's a breakfast over to Hillsboro on the same day, on the fourth Sunday of the month. Well, this year it's the fifth Sunday, so we've got it all by ourselves.
Yeah, that's a first, isn't it?
Oh, no. No?
No?
It happens about every 4 or 5 years, usually.
Okay.
Once in a while you get a double in there with a leap year and things like that, but it's usually once every 4 or 5 years.
So it's golden this year.
Yep.
The stage is set for maybe hitting 1,000, huh?
Maybe. I know the dairy breakfast for Sauk County and Richland County, which are around us here, they did real well there. And those weren't exactly cooperating days. They were rainy. And
right. So. Yes. And I remember back in the days when we had Star Spangled Celebration here, oftentimes it was that same weekend. That'd be Sunday after the concert was done then.
Right. Too.
So a lot of people would go up there as well.
Yep.
So anything unique or new this year with the dairy breakfast, Greg?
We're doing pretty much the same thing. We got our regular regular menu as far as pancakes and sausage and ham, eggs, and applesauce is on the end of it there, and cheese curds, real maple syrup that comes from Bower Valley Maples, and so that's, you know, we got a regular menu.
I always like how you emphasize that real, you know, you're going to get that. You're going to emphasize real maple syrup, aren't you?
Well, some maple syrup comes, and it's kind of like honey, where they mix things into it. This is pure maple syrup. We, the guys up in the our area up there, they haul in the sap in the spring, and they cook it down so they can make syrup out of it. And so they pretty much see it at every stage.
Right, exactly. So a lot of the products are locally grown then, too,
yes.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's the best kind. You couldn't do it without your sponsors. It looks like you have a number of them this year, Greg.
We have our usual bunch as far as, and some of them have been with us for an awful long time. They started out with us clear back when the JCs were running it, and they're still with us.
Yeah, you couldn't do it without them, that's for sure. I'm guessing it takes quite a bit of money to kind of put this together, doesn't it?
It does. We have those sponsors help, you know, buy spaces on our poster, and we really appreciate it when you patronize them as far as, you know, let them know, hey, we saw your name on the poster, and we'd like to see what you got or what you offer.
St. Anthony's School, you kind of seat them in shifts there? How do you get everybody in there?
We can set, I think it's about 250 in one setting, and then we just keep resetting. And we've got hostesses there to try to, you know, keep people together, you know, tight and fill as we go. And then when the door prizes are called, then the next bunch moves out, that bunch moves out, and the next bunch moves in.
I see.
So they keep coming through the door, and if you come a little bit earlier or even a little bit later, you know, the line may not be quite as long. So that helps a lot.
Get the ride at 7 then.
Yep, maybe. Start at 7.
Uh-huh. Or 11:30 maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
11:15.
Ends at noon.
11 to 11:15 and you'll be done, and so it'll work out good.
So are you the head pancake cooker, Greg, or who is that?
I float pretty much as far as when I kind of keep an eye on things that are going on. We are a little bit short on guys this year, so I'll probably be filling in for some of them. Otherwise, I'll give you an example. If the applesauce bowl is empty or almost empty, I'll go get a can of applesauce and dump it in. You know, it's just one of those things. You get it, do it right as it needs it.
You pitch in wherever you need it to
yep.
be. Yeah. How many members strong is the 8946 Council?
I think right now we're at 61 or 62.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, considering that most of the guys are 60, you know, 50, 60, and maybe some 70s in there.
Sure. But fairly small parish there
yep.
in Cazenovia.
Yep.
So you must have just, I would guess, most of the male members are members of the Knights.
A lot of them are, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. And let's talk about some other things. Are there other projects during the year that you get involved in?
Well, we just sent checks down to the food pantries here in Richland Center and to Reedsburg. Those people there need all the help we can give them, because there's a lot of families out there that are running short on food, and things got so expensive. They go to that, and I've been hearing this so many times. You go to the grocery store, and what you used to buy for $35, $40, now it's $75 to $100. Mm-hmm. And they just, if they got a family of four, it's really tough to do as far as everybody's got to have something to eat.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Community Bank, Napa Auto Parts, Quail Run Golf Links, Open Season Outlet, plus Louis Bar in Yuba and Turbos in Hub City. The drawing will be July 18th at the Tommy P. Harvey Memorial Golf Outing.
WRCE 100.9 FM.
It is 6:30, and news time today is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Sunshine and pleasant conditions await today, a high later of 76. In Richland Center with Sunshine, it's 55.
Looking for the perfect lift chair? A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in Richland Center has you covered. We carry the Ultra Comfort line of lift chairs. These top-of-the-line American-made lift chairs are customizable with options like extendable footrests, waterproof fabric, and some have a weight capacity of up to 600 pounds. Whether you need extra help standing or just want to lounge in luxury, visit A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet at 172 South Church Street today for the ultimate in comfort and convenience. Your perfect lift chair is waiting.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. A significant delay in rebuilding the bridge between Lansing, Iowa and DeSoto, Wisconsin. Iowa DOT engineer Clayton Burke says flooding on the Mississippi has stopped work. He says it could be several weeks to a month before the water recedes enough to restart the work. The contractor will likely bring in multiple crews once the water goes down so they can work nights and weekends to make up for that lost time. Also, flooding along the Mississippi River in Prairie du Chien.
WKOW reports Prairie du Chien Mayor Dave Hemmer signed a state of emergency declaration following recent severe storms. The National Weather Service projects the Mississippi River to rise to over 20 feet by this weekend. That nears the levels for major flooding. The city has been working to fill in place sandbags for residents. Flood warnings have been posted for most Wisconsin counties along the Mississippi. Ted Allen, Wisconsin Radio Network.
One person is dead after a tractor rollover. On Monday, the Vernon County Sheriff's Office was notified of an injury accident involving the tractor rollover on a logging road on a private property at an address located in the town of Kickapoo. Responding personnel found that Jimmy L. Kennedy, 65, of Wind Lake, had been operating a medium-sized garden tractor alone on the property. The tractor overturned while Kennedy was operating it on the logging road, lodging Kennedy underneath the tractor. Jimmy Kennedy was pronounced dead at the scene by the Vernon County Coroner's Office. Also assisting at the scene were the Viola and Reedstown Fire Departments and Kickapoo Valley Rescue Squad Ambulance Service. Firefighters across the state say they're seeing more wildfires this year compared to last year, but thankfully, fewer acres of land are being burned. So far, they say that this year, the state has seen 774 wildfires compared to 592 last year. But the amount of land burned has decreased by about 60%. Officials say they're seeing more fires that start as the result of equipment use, like lawnmowers and ATVs. And paired with a lack of snow over the winter, the state's vegetation was more likely to go up in smoke. The body of a missing man has been pulled from the Eau Claire River. Deputies say the 35-year-old Robert Hansen went missing on Saturday after trying to cross a part of the river on foot and slipping under the water. His body was spotted on Tuesday by a kayaker. An autopsy has been scheduled to determine his exact cause of death. Richland County Sheriff's Department is bidding a possum farewell to one of its partners, Rambo. After 8 years of dedicated service, sniffing out the bad guys and keeping our community safe with his handler, Lieutenant Mike Siz, Rambo is ready to trade in the badge for a cozy spot on the couch. From taking countless numbers of illegal drugs off the streets to countless belly rubs, Rambo has been a true hero on four legs, but all good things must come to an end, and it's time for him to retire. The Richland County Sheriff's Department would like to thank the numerous donors and supporters of the K-9 unit. Without you, these incredible animals would not be possible. K-9 officer partner Aaron remains on the job with his handler, Sergeant Chris Shulgin. A teenager accused in the death of a counselor at Lincoln Hills School for Boys is being charged as an adult. Investigators say Corey Prolzik was assaulted by 16-year-old Javarius Hurd on Monday. The attack caused Prolzik to hit his head on a hard surface, leading to a loss of brain function. He was pronounced dead on Tuesday. According to investigators, Hurd may have pre-planned the attack because he thought he was being treated unfairly by staff at the facility. Hurd made an initial appearance in Lincoln County Court on Wednesday. He's being held on a $100,000 cash bond, facing counts of murder and reckless homicide. Prolix leaves behind a fiance and a child. Further court action against Hurd is pending. The latest Marquette Law School poll shows a close race for president in Wisconsin. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump tied at 50% in a head-to-head matchup among registered voters. Among likely voters, Biden the choice of 51% to Trump's 49%. The results include initially undecided voters who were then asked about whom they would vote for if they had to choose between the two candidates. Trump led by 2 points among both registered and likely voters in April's Marquette poll. The survey was conducted June 12th through the 28th, interviewing 871 registered voters with a margin of error of plus or minus 4.6 percentage points. Respondents asked also about the criminal convictions of Donald Trump. Among registered Wisconsin voters, 55% agreed with the jury, which found the former president guilty of the charges in his New York hush money trial. 36% say he is not guilty, and 9% say they don't know. Almost three-quarters of Republicans say Trump is not guilty, while a majority of independents and almost all Democrats believe he is guilty. Sentencing for Trump is set for July 11th, just days before the start of the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Among registered voters, 27% say Trump should receive no penalty, 12% say he should be fined, 14% say he should receive probation without jail, and 36% say he should be sentenced to some jail time. A lead for Tammy Baldwin in the latest Marquette poll. The survey found 52% of registered and likely voters backing Democrat Baldwin, who is seeking a third term in the U.S. Senate following service in the U.S. House and the Wisconsin legislature. 47% back Republican Eric Hovde, a businessman whose latest social media gambit was to ask supporters whether he should shave his mustache. The poll was conducted earlier this month and has a margin of error of plus 4.6%. Percentage points for registered voters and 4.9 percentage points for likely voters.
Jones Chevrolet in Richland Center is your local family-owned, award-winning dealership for over a century. We always have one of the largest selections of trucks in Southwest Wisconsin. JonesChev.com is updated daily with specials on new and pre-owned vehicles. We even have a secure credit application online to help us help you faster. Bad credit? Good news, we can help. Our special finance manager, Melanie, has some custom finance options and is eager to help. Jones Chevrolet, Richland Center, your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevy, together let's drive.
The forecast for today is a very simple and pleasant one. 76 and sunny. East winds around 5. Turning cloudy tonight, a low of 58. Cloudy and breezy with intermittent showers and thunderstorms Friday with a high of 74. Muggy with rain at times, possibly a thunderstorm Friday night and a low of 65. Saturday, a mix of clouds and sun and seasonal. Isolated showers possible and a high of 81. And mostly sunny and comfortably cool on Sunday and 72. Yesterday, we did receive a trace of precipitation early in the morning, and we made it to 83 for a daytime high. Overnight, 66 was the midnight reading, and it's cool right now and sunny, and we're at 55 degrees.
years you've relied on the Shoebox and Black Earth for selection, the right size, and that comfortable fit. Now you can save even more right across the street at the Bargain Box. You'll find great deals on athletic shoes, casual and dress shoes, and boots for everyone in the family at prices that'll knock your socks off. No problem, they sell socks too. Stop in today at the Bargain Box across the street from the original Shoebox on Highway 14 in Black Earth.
The Muscadine Mudcats would like to say thank you for their sponsors this year for Hometown Baseball. These sponsors include Philback Ford, Meister Cheese, Subway of Richland Center, Goplin Insurance of Richland Center, Royal Bank, Honkers and Sportsmen's, Wilkinson Auction Services, Walsh's Ace, Foggy Bottom Woodworks, and the Village of Muscadine. Again, the Mudcats would like to thank the sponsors for the 2024 season.
Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at the local schedule for today and tonight, and details on another nice brewer exciting win.
All Cub Cadet mowers are on sale now at the Homesteader Store. Hi, this is Rick. The sale includes industry-leading Cub Cadet Ultima zero-turn mowers with both lap bar and steering wheel units. The sale includes the quality Enduro Series lawn and garden tractors. They are all on sale, so come and save $150 to $500. See the full line of Cub Cadet products at your mower headquarters, the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East, or at homesteaderstore.com.
Hometown and baseball action continues tonight with some games including Dodgeville at Mazamani, Sauk Prairie at Arena, and Reedsburg at Wisconsin Dells. Other nightly action tonight features Black Earth at Middleton and Ridgeway at Footville. The WBCA All-Star Games are going on this week. The girls' All-Stars hit the court yesterday. Today, it's the boys' turn. The boys' All-Star Basketball Games at Just a Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. First game, Division 5, gets underway at 9 o'clock this morning. And also, there will have the dedication to Jerry Pettigrew, a statue for Coach Pettigrew. That dedication between 10:15 and 10:30, just before the D4 All-Star Game today. Division 3 at 12:40, Division 2 at 2:30, and 4 o'clock for the Division 1 All-Stars. It's $10 for adults and students 10 and above to get in, $5 for kids 4 to 9 years old, and free for kids 3 and under. Last night in Legion Baseball, the Viroqua Legion team defeated Baraboo by a score of 10 to nothing. On to the state scene, where the Brewers had an exciting game yesterday. Andrew Monasterio was called upon, and the Brewers, it seems like, take turns every day with a different hero.
The 1-1 pitch. Lined into left center field. That's going to get down. Plug the gap. Roll all the way to the wall. Andrew Monasterio flips that helmet high in the air as Adames scores from third, and the Brewers walk off the Rangers and sweep them here this afternoon at American Family Field. Your final, Brewers 6 and the Rangers 5-10.
Monasterio says he has to be ready at any time.
If you saw the Angels game, so hit them a pinch run. And like in 5 seconds, I was in the first base and I am ready to stall a base. So, you know, so I have to be ready at any moment. So it's part of my game this year. So I'm thankful for that. I'm ready for that.
The Brewers are off today. Then Colin Ray starts Friday's weekend series opener at home against the Chicago Cubs. Lots of heroes yesterday as well, including Jackson Chirio with the inside the park home run. And also it was Jake Bowers with a grand slam in the game. Other games, well, the Cubs continue to kind of stumble and bumble a little bit. They lost to San Francisco 4-3, St. Louis 4-1 over Atlanta, San Diego 8, Washington 5. It was also Atlanta 6-2 over St. Louis in the earlier game on the day, and Pittsburgh 6-1 over Cincinnati in the American League. Seattle 5, Tampa Bay 2, the Angels 5-2 over Oakland, and Baltimore 4-2 against Cleveland. Interleague play, Philadelphia 6-2 over Detroit, Kansas City 5, Miami 1, Houston 7, Colorado 1, the Dodgers 4, White Sox nothing, Mets 12-2 over the Yankees, and Minnesota beat Arizona. The final was 8-3. Well, the Milwaukee Bucks have selected A.J. Johnson with a 23rd overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. A 6'5 guard, Johnson spent last season with the Hawks in Australia's National Basketball League as a part of its Next Stars program. The 19-year-old appeared in 26 games. A native of Fresno, California, Johnson was a four-star recruit in the 2023 class coming out of Southern California Academy before opting to be a part of the NBL's Next Stars program. An Instagram posting by former Packer wide receiver Randall Cobb's wife says they are lucky to be alive after a house fire. Ada Cobb says family members got out with no possessions but the clothes they were wearing. The fire was started by the charger connected to the family's Tesla in the garage. Cobb is still a free agent going into the 24 NFL season. He was one of Green Bay's most popular players. And the Wisconsin football team has received a commitment from in-state punter and kicker Eric Schmidt. He reportedly chose the Badgers over offers from Notre Dame, Michigan, and Boston College. Schmidt is rated the number 8 kicker and number 1 punter in the country. He is the 21st high school prospect to play his college football in Madison. 10 of those players have committed this month alone. With an update on Thursday morning sports, I'm Phil Nee.
Which group do you belong to? The 20% or the 80%? 20% of people exercise regularly, and 80% don't. Hi, this is Tracy. Letting you know whichever group you belong to, Simon's Recreation Complex has an activity that can get you moving.
Yeah, well, that's great that you do that then. So you donate there. And do you have other events, other money makers during the year?
Not too much. Just breakfast during the wintertime. We have one in December, and then we have another one in January and another one in March. One in March, we have the green pancakes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So people like those.
They're not moldy. St. Patty's Day.
That's right.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. And certainly during the year then, you're out and about. I think you're well-recognized in the community because a lot of the members are probably involved in other civic organizations too, aren't they?
Well, some of the guys are on the fire department, and it's just the church takes a lot of work. As far as, you know, guys working for this or doing this project, that project. So we're in the process of putting wood on the pile. So we'll have a wood auction this fall.
Oh.
And in this kind of weather, that's quite a sacrifice.
Yes, it is. You're going to be sweating cutting wood this day.
That's right.
Greg, before we leave, would you want to recognize the sponsors?
We have a lot of sponsors that have been with us for a long time. But starting out, our Scenic Central milk producers, that bunch there is doing a really fabulous job. I mean, as far as a small co-op, Richland Electric Co-op right here in Richland Center. E.T. Foods is up there on 58, going up toward Cazenovia. Kaz Mart, which is in Cazenovia, the new owner's there. Harchie Farm Home and Sports, they've been around for a long time, and they do a good job down there. Eater Dairy Supply, they are one of the people that takes care of the dairy farmers. The equipment that they use in the parlors or in the barn, they have to service things like that. If something goes wrong, they're the guys get called. Christie Sunnyside, right here in Richland Center. Those folks, the lady down there, do a good job if you want something to eat.
Yeah, other than Ken Ansett, they're good people there.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Bindle Sales and Service, that's down in Reedsburg. Those are there again, that's a supplier to the farm. Lone Birch Taxidermy. Jim can do a real nice job with a deer or if you get a cat of some kind. There's bobcats around, so he can do a really nice job on those. DT Delights, that's up the Union Center. That's one of our suppliers. Saputo Cheese down in Reedsburg. I guess they're going to goat stuff now.
Oh.
They're handling mainly goat stuff. Elkham Creamery in Richland Center. There's another bunch that we get a lot of our supplies from. Schloss Classic Concrete Construction in Reedsburg. They do things for the homeowners in doing concrete work, or I think probably they do some farm work too. WRCO right here, Richards Insurance, and that'd be in Ithaca. Old Country Cheese. These are these little cheese stores are all over. You got that one there, and you got one in the arena. We get cheese out of those, and we have to patronize those, because if we don't, they're eventually going to close up, and then that's the only place you'll get the cheese is at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we think about all the little cheese factories when we were growing up, and yeah. It's nice to keep patronizing the ones that we still have, too.
You bet.
It? Yeah.
Yep. Advanced Pump and Well Solutions in Richland Center. Our well went out this last year ago, and I think that's where our well came from. So that's pretty important. Car Valley Cheese in Laval, they've got a lot of award-winning cheeses down there.
Yep.
The Cheese Store and More in Hillsboro, that's one of them little cheese stores. Farber Funeral Home in Reedsburg. Hirschy Lumber Incorporated in Laval. Straka Meats in Plain. Straka's been around a long time. Schreiber Foods right here in Richland Center. Bower Valley Maples, they supply all the maple syrup for that breakfast on Sunday. Wirtz Plumbing and Heating, they've been around quite a long time. Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, they take care of things like the Richland County Dairy Breakfast. They do promotion, so they do a lot of work too on the dairy side. Arena Cheese, another one of those small cheese factories. Richland County Dairy Promotion Board. Oh, I take it back. That's the one that takes care of the Richland County breakfast. Mm-hmm. Lime Ridge Ag Supply. That's another supplier for the farms. They have feed up there. They have pretty much everything a farmer needs. Ray Zobel and Sons down in Reedsburg. Hirschy Tire and Hirschy Tire in Laval. They got all the farm tires. They got tractor tires, wagon tires, you name it. Gavin Brothers Auction down in Reedsburg. Meister Cheese, another small cheese factory. Royal Bank in Casanova. Salt Weedle's store in Casanova. That's been there a long time. Magnum Broadcasting. BC Welding. That's Bun and Cindy up there. Bun can usually fix some things that you thought you couldn't fix. Shields Truck and Equipment. That's Steve and his bunch up there. Arneson Service and Repair up at Hill Point. That's another good bunch. They can fix a lot of things. Federally Chrysler Jeep in Reedsburg. Simpson Tractor right here in Richland Center. And Laval Telephone. A lot of these small co-ops that are around here have been around since I was just a little guy.
Mm-hmm. And supporting many events like the Kaz Dairy Breakfast for the years, too.
Yeah.
Tell me about the door prizes that people can be a part of on Sunday.
There'll be door prizes every half hour. And we're working on right now getting our supply together as far as we can maintain that, all the way through the breakfast. And it can be anything from cheese to some ice cream, yogurt, anything that we've got a lot on hand. And there's some other things that are designated strictly for door prize. Some of those are really nice cheeses. I mean, it's different kinds of cheeses.
I see. So people have to buy a ticket while they're there then?
They come in the door, they buy a ticket, they put their name on the back, and then those tickets, they go around to the serving line, and they drop the ticket in the bucket, and then they can go ahead and eat, and the ticket goes up to the fellow that's going to draw the door prizes.
Okay.
So It's a pretty fast turnaround.
Yeah, so I get what you mean. So then you're eating in shifts, and then you might have a chance to win it while you're eating there. And
that's
then,
right.
Then move out the door.
Right.
And have your conversation outside, maybe, right?
Well, there's a lot of visiting goes on when they're at the table, of course.
I'll bet there is.
But there is ice cream and yogurt for both for dessert. So, and the 4-H workers will be serving that. They'll go around the young kids, and it's nice to see the young kids around there as far as it's just they love doing it.
Sure. Which 4-H club is it?
It'd be the Casanova Wooling Workers, and then some of those members are 4-H members.
I see. Okay. Good to get them involved, isn't it?
It's very good to get them involved. It's just that's a whole different subject to talk about as far as getting young people involved in the things that are going on in our community.
Right. Because it was instilled in us, in our age, you know, like, because our parents did it. But I think we got to pass it on to the next generation to keep these things going.
Try to get them to go do it instead of sitting and playing on the video games.
That's another topic for another discussion.
That's what I said.
That's for sure. Anything else you'd like to add about the breakfast, Greg?
It's inside. We got air conditioning there. We've got the system tuned up, so it should be real comfortable. We got people outside to help you get parked. So we got handicapped parking. Anybody that can't walk too far. And we'll just bring your smile and a good appetite.
Awesome. When is church at the...
I believe that's at 8 o'clock.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you can go to Mass and go to the breakfast, too,
sure.
If you'd like, too.
Yep.
Sure. Well, good deal. We appreciate being able to publicize this for you and give away some tickets. We've been doing that as well here on the radio.
We appreciate that.
We'll keep that going as well. But, Greg, thanks for what you do and everything in the community. And thanks for your donations to the area food pantries as well.
Thank you to all the sponsors that helped us all to help make this possible.
Great. Greg Braun joining us here from the Council 8946 Knights of Columbus and the Cazenovia Area Dairy Breakfast this coming Sunday from 7 to noon at St. Anthony's School. Don't miss it.
With Wendy's new $3 English muffin deal, you can get your choice of a sausage or bacon, egg, and cheese English muffin with small seasoned potatoes.
And with all that for just $3, it really is a proper breakfast, wouldn't you say? Huh? With a light and fluffy toasted English muffin and crispy seasoned potatoes. Go on, Catherine, give it a go.
Okay. Jolly good morning.
Ah, close, love. Grab a proper breakfast with Wendy's new $3 English muffin deal for a limited time.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Select a request English muffin deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte or combo orders. Single item at regular price. Prices are higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Life and relationships are complex. Are past events, today's worries, or feelings of anxiety or depression keeping you from living your best life? Gunnarsson Baskerville's behavioral health specialists provide personalized outpatient counseling for children and adults in a safe, judgment-free environment. Prioritize your physical and mental well-being. To schedule a behavioral health appointment in Baskerville, Fenimore, or Muscadet, call Gunnarsson Baskerville today.
Welcome back to the Morning Show studios on WRCO. Thanks to Diane Barenbrook and Greg Braun for being on, talking about the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair and the Cazenovia Area Dairy Breakfast, respectively. So hats off to both of those communities as they make it happen. And it's been a pleasure talking about those events. Longtime guests and subjects here on the Morning Show. And Saturday, Thunderfest right here in Richland Center. And we spoke about that yesterday with Mick Cosgrove. But again, the forecast doesn't sound too bad for those upcoming events. Maybe some rain Friday, early Saturday morning for setup time, but for the rest of the day, it should be all right. The Thunderfest music gets underway at noon with all kinds of music on Saturday. It'll be Marty Cena, followed by Dan Koba and the Journeymen, and that's at 1:30. At 3, the Adam Bartels Band. 4:30, Three Souls Band, Stone Cold Country at 6:20, and the Tradesmen at 8:10, right into the fireworks. Following that as well, free admission to the grounds, food and beverage, kids, fun and more, and huge fireworks as well at dark. That will be Richland Center's fireworks display on Saturday night at Kroska Park in Richland Center. We close out the morning show with our friend Marty Cena, who's been on the air and the guest with us here on the Morning Show studios as well. You might even be able to request this one on Saturday when he kicks off Thunderfest at noon.
There's a place called Dirty Sally's in Ten Sleep, Wyoming, right there on U.S. Highway 16. At the base of the Bighorn Mountains, just south of Cody, it's a real place you need to see. There's souvenirs and groceries, ice cream and coffee, everything a kid could want or need. There's coloring books and books, fishing line and hooks, the finest cuts of Western beef for the cooks. Now Dirty Sally ain't so dirty anymore. said Sally, changed and tidied up the store. It's a national destination, that tang sleep sensation. Dirty Sally, so dirty anymore. T-shirt, sweatshirt, soaps to fight the dirt. Some first aid if you ever should get hurt. Well, I reckon I've said enough about all the Sally stuff. Stop by, it's a place I think you'll love. Now, Dirty Sally ain't so dirty anymore, since Sally changed and tidied up the store. It's a national destination, that taint sleep sensation. Dirty Sally ain't so dirty anymore. It's a national destination.